भरत महाराज एट अ मैच्योरिटी ऑफ हिज लाइफ ही गेव ऑल ऑफ हिज किंगडम एंड रिटायर्ड एज पर वर्णाश्रम एंड देन ही स्टार्टेड वर्शिपिंग सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड एंड वेन ही वॉज वर्शिपिंग द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड विथ फोकस अटेंशन एट वन पर्टिकुलर पीरियड ऑफ टाइम ही वॉज कैप्टिवेटेड बाय द डियर ही गॉट सम मर्सी ऑन दैट डियर and he wanted to save that baby deer and after that he started associating with that deer in such a way that he neglected all his regular prescribed duties or regular devotional activities. Sometimes it also happens in our life that we may attach or captivated by certain material things in our life so that we neglect the duty towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So same thing happened with Bharat Maharaj. And in next life, he got the body of deer. And in next body, he come to know that I was Bharat Maharaj in my previous life. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta smuti jnana apohanam cha. Krishna only give the remembrance and Krishna only give the forgetfulness. So he started remembering his previous life. And it is said that mistake is a mistake when we repeat the mistake. So he did not offer. Want to repeat the mistake, and this time he was quite cautious and he started associating with the sadhus. It is said by so many Vaishnava acharyas or current ISKCON gurus. Whenever I heard their Bhagavatam classes, they said that the real cause or major cause of fall down of Bharat Maharaj because he was not associating with the devotees. We were speaking in our Sunday feast class that in association we get the strength. All the major countries or all the major group, so they have such a unity and they are materially motivated by some material gain, the profit, adoration and some material things in their life. And they do the things in unity, like US, we gave the example of US, the US thought that we live in peace and they never heard about Winston Churchill when he was telling that you should also take part in World War I in 1945. But what happened? The Pearl Harbor, the bomb blasting and so many citizens killed. And that time, US prepared for the fighting and all the communities come together to support the soldier and they were victorious just by coming and serving with unity and cooperation. So that's why the life of Bharat Maharaj, he was alone. That's what that deer become very dear to him and he fell down in his attempt, in his spiritual realization. So today's day was very wonderful. So many of you attended Mangal Arati and it is real unity, We came together to serve Srila Prabhupada. We are cutting the vegetable here. In the association of devotee, whatever we do and whatever we do alone, whimsically, it has really, these are the two different things actually. We have to always follow our authority, follow their instructions and try to attend such morning sadhana in the association of devotee, and it gives us such a strength that that throughout the day we can at least whatever situation come in our life, we get the strength to become Krishna consciousness and to take Krishna conscious decision in that particular situation. So the day will be different whenever you are attending the morning program in the temple. Actually, you win that day in one sense because it is very easy to become Krishna consciousness. One of the sannyasi was telling in his lecture, your real devotional service start when you complete your 16 rounds. We think that, throughout the day we will somehow or other manage to chant our rounds till 12 o'clock or what. But at least, we are not telling that every day it is possible for the people working in corporate world. They are managing their corporate duties and coming to the temple for various services. I know you all are doing best, but this is only for my purification. But at least for Saturday and Sunday, we need to come here at any time. Sometimes we can miss Mangal Arati and we can be late. One of the devotees is telling that morning program is like an elephant. Sometimes you can catch hold of the tail of elephant. Sometimes you can catch hold of the ear of elephant. But any point of time, you can come for Darshan Arati, you can come for Srimad Bhagavatam class. So after getting late, we should not be morose. Oh my God, I lost everything. So whatever point of time you can come to this morning program and attend at least half an hour or 20 minutes that has a greater effect in our life. You know, so that's what we have to come in association. So that is very important. Because when we come in the association of devotee, so whatever spiritual credit the devotee has acquired, just by coming in the association of devotee, it will become easy for us to access the kingdom of God or the, you know, that devotee, and we get the blessing of all the devotee surrounding to us. And we are alone, it is very difficult to surpass all the tribulation in our life, in our japa. But if you surrounded by Tulsi Maharani, if you are chanting early in the morning, we get such a strength. Maharani Swami was writing in his book, you know, importance of chanting our japa surrounding Tulsi Maharani. It is very important actually. We get such a strength because Tulsi Maharani always chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So by constantly associating with Tulsi Maharani, we actually get the strength in our japa. So somehow or other, Bharat Maharaj, this is the example for us. We should not, you know, tell that Bharat Maharaj was wrong in his part, but to teach us to the example of Bharat Maharaj. Because whenever Krishna wants to teach us, he will select the best personality. That's why Bharat Maharaj is in Bhagavatam, you know. So we should understand the one side of life of Bharat Maharaj, how he fell down at his particular period of time. And same Bharat Maharaj become in the deer body. He started associating with the devotees, and whatever the remnants he got from the devotees, he started relishing those remnants. And he got such a strength that at the time of his death, he remembered, and he chanted the mantra, he remembered the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and again he got the body of Jada Bharat. Jada Bharat is very the contradictory lifestyle, because inside the heart, the Jada Bharat was a pure devotee, but he was pretending to become a dull man, an abnormal child, not a normal child, you know. He was like a deaf, he was pretending to be like a blind person, as if, you know, I am not aware of what is going on. Like, all you are cutting a sabji, but suppose some person is there, he is just looking to you, not doing anything, you know, while cutting the sabji. It is like that. So Bharat, Jada Bharat Maharaj was giving class, and he was telling that, Jada Bharat's father was telling him, please bring him that, bring me that pot. But Jada Bharat was just looking, you know, as if he did not understand what is pot and what should I do. He was telling, please bring me, go to the market and bring some sabji. And Jada Bharat was looking to that, you know, going there and just looking sabji and doing nothing. No result actually. When Vidyaman Acharya was describing in his class about the life of Jada Maharaj, Jada Bharat. So he was doing nothing, and he is like dumb and dull in his life. So actually we can take that side of Jada Maharaj, Jada Bharat in our life when we go to the corporate world, as we described a few months back, you know. And whenever tribulation comes, and whenever people in the outside world, they invite us for parties, so many things which are contradictory to our devotional practices. So we should be like a Jada Bharat at particular time, and we should avoid such people. We should not be foolish, of course. We should use our intelligence to avoid the people. Sometimes we say we should be fool in front of devotee or in front of the deities. But fool doesn't mean we should be foolish. Fool means on the strength of our intelligence, we try to avoid the material association. And that doesn't mean that we are fool, but we are intelligent at that particular time. So, as we are approaching the Ram Navami, and this is the life style of Jada Bharat, we can get so many lessons from Ramayana if we just focus on some of the stories from Ramayana, where the devotees are misunderstood. I think so much echo is coming, Prabhu, you know. Because when we are speaking, we are not hearing our sound, you know. Bhagavatam, first of all for me, then for others. Actually. Oh. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah, it's better, I think. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So, it is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that by offending a Vaishnava, one finishes all his spiritual activities. You know, we saw in the Ramayana Katha that there are so many things happen, that externally so many devotees were judged by their external activities. Even Prabhu Ramachandra, when he's approaching Jatayu, the Jatayu was trying to save the Sita. When Ravana was kidnapping the Sita, Jatayu saw that Ravana is kidnapping the Sita, and with his all strength, he started fighting with the Ravana. Jatayu was 60,000 years old, vulture, and with all his strength, he was trying to capture Ravana, his whatever, you know, weapon Ravana was using. But his only motto in his service was to just save the Sita. Sita is the property of Ram, and the best thing in our life to utilize the Ram's property in the service of Ram, or Gopijana Vallabh's property in the service of Gopijana Vallabh. So by his whole strength, Jatayu started defending Ravana, but somehow or other, you know, it was the will of Lord, or Lord wanted to glorify him in the pages of Ramayana as the best devotee in the world. And Jatayu's one of the wing got cut, and then another, and Jatayu fell down in that jungle, and Ravana flew with Mother Sita. So when Lakshmana and Ramchandra appeared in front of Jatayu, they thought this is only the creature, because all the blood, they saw the blood oozing from the mouth of Jatayu, from the beak of Jatayu, and they thought this is the creature, he might have eaten Mother Sita, because Mother Sita's body is such a tender, and she is such a tender, you know, so he, the vulture, might have devoured Mother Sita's body. And they started, you know, taking, because Supreme Personality of Godhead, of course, he knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. But sometime in our services, you know, Lord want to test us. So he wanted to test Jatayu. And Lakshmana with his bow wanted to kill the Jatayu. But Ram, you know, with presence of mind, come in the front of Jatayu. And they come to know that this Jatayu wanted to save the Sita Mata's life, but somehow or other they could not save. And Ravana kidnapped Sita. So we can understand that we cannot judge the devotee by just their external appearance. Sometimes what happens, devotees are engaged in so many different devotional services, but we judge them by our external, you know, intelligence, and their external activities has impact in our body, mind, intelligence and ego, and we think that they don't have the devotional content in their life, and they are just carrying their devotional services. But, you know, we should understand that the particular authority has engaged them in that particular service for the improvement of that particular devotee. And that is important for that particular period, particular time and particular circumstances in order to grow in devotional life. So we should not judge devotees externally. Even Rupa Goswami says in NOI, the Nectar of Instructions. Do you remember that exact translation where it is said that we should not judge devotee externally? I think 10th or 11th verse, the last verses of before Radha Kunda verse. It was a very prominent verse of Bhakti, Nectar of Instruction. Okay. The next thing, when Bharat Maharaj approached to surrender Prabhu Ramachandra, the Lakshmana, he is Balram himself, he also started judging Bharata by his external, because externals. He thought that Bharat, with his all strength, he sent us to exile, he sent us for forest for 14 years, and still he wanted to kill Prabhu Ram. And he came with all his strength, and he also started judging Bharata. But somehow or other, Ram, due to presence of mind, pacified Lakshmana and told him, Bharat Maharaj came to surrender here. So whenever I am remembering Bharat Maharaj, I am remembering very nice story in his life. And it is relevant to our morning program. You all, you know, youngsters were there today. It is a very happy moment. So I want to narrate that story of Bharat Maharaj. So please listen very carefully. So what happened when Bharat Maharaj came? Prabhu Ramachandra and Lakshman and Sita, they killed Ravana and enthroned Vibhishana on the throne as a king of Sri Lanka. And they coming back to Ayodhya with that, you know, golden aeroplane. What happened? Some of the people from Ayodhya asked Prabhu Ramachandra if Bharat has something in his mind and he will not accept you, what will you do? You know, maybe Bharat, 14 years he is worshipping your padukas, worshipping your lotus feet. But tinge of, you know, desire to, what is that? Enjoy the kingdom. That small fraction of desire, if it is there in his heart, then what you will do? So Ramchandra asked the same question to Bharat Maharaj. Or somebody asked the same question to Bharat. So Bharat Maharaj told, there are 12 or 14, I don't remember exactly, 12 kind of prominent sinful activities in this material world. And the first sinful activities is the getting from the bed after sunrise is the prominent sinful activities in the material world or entire creation, you know. And if I offended or I got up from the bed after the sunrise, so I have not committed that activities also. So you can understand by my commitment to Prabhu Ramchandra. I have not failed to execute these four kind of activities. I never failed. So we can understand that, you know, getting up early in the morning is very important in our devotional life. It is said that early to the bed, early rise make us healthy, wealthy and wise. It has nice effect in our life actually if we get up early in the morning and attend. Yes, Prabhu. Healthy, not wealthy. Healthy and wise. Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. This is something, you know. Yeah, that's good actually. That's good. Yeah. Nice comment. Yeah. Spiritually wealthy. Healthy and wise. Yeah. So, one time I remember that some of the devotees approached Prabhupada. Sorry. Prabhupada came to some of the temple. I gave this example so many times and I am so much inspired by this example. And Prabhupada came and he was having fever, but he attended the morning program and some of the devotees, the residential devotees, were sleeping. And in the morning Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada told that I don't like that in Guru Puja you always say Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. I will be happy if you follow what I do. Prabhupada doesn't mean that, you know, we can follow Acharya or do some Anukaran as it is, that Prabhupada was sleeping 2 hours, we can also follow Prabhupada. Not like that. But at least, you know, the morning program is very essential by his behavior, Prabhupada told. One day Shyamasundar Prabhu also came and Prabhupada was telling that I don't want that always Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. But I like that whatever I am following, if you follow, I will be real, really happy. So this was the one example, and I was thinking about the several example where in Vaishnava offense theme there are so many examples we can give. The example of Amrish Maharaj, and Amrish Maharaj was serving Supreme Personality of Godhead by using all his senses. You know, by eyes he was taking the darshan of the Lord. By ear he was hearing the Krishna Katha. By nose he was smelling the essence stick offerings to the Lord. So Prabhupada has made our devotional activity in such a way that we can follow the 9 angas of our devotional activities. The morning program itself, you know, if you attend morning program, all these activities are taken care. You are dancing by using your body, whole body. You are smelling that, you know, scent offered to the Lord. You are hearing the Krishna Katha. And so many things. You are taking darshan by your eyes. So many things are taken care. And wholeheartedly, you are engaged in your devotional activities like Amrish Maharaj. But is Amrish Maharaj, when Durvas Muni approached in his assembly, and it was the time when Amrish Maharaj was about to break the fast, and Durvas Muni came with his 60,000 disciples. 60,000 word is very famous in Bhagavatam and Ramayana, I think. 36,000 or 60,000. This is very hard-coded word. So he came with all his disciples, and it is said that whenever any guest come to your house, you should do 3 things. First of all, you should welcome with your smile. It is said that devotee offense doesn't mean that you are taking some stick and you are beating the devotees.
The DOT offense also, if somebody is coming to temple or somebody is coming to your house and you are not giving some smile means doesn't mean corporate smile, you know. The people are paid for the smile. I know in my company some of the ladies, you know, not here in India, they are like, I am not offending anyone, but they were in the reception counter and they were paid for the smiling. And it was 2010 when I was searching the IT jobs and all. And I thought, these are the wonderful personalities in entire creation, always smiling. Because then I came to know that they are getting paid. And I was in my car, about to start the car, the same lady which was smiling in the morning when she welcomed me, and she was burst into tears. She was not knowing I am in the car, because I had some dark shade in my all glasses in the car, and I was about to start, and she was on the phone, and she was crying like a child for half an hour, and I did not dare to start my car, because in India, you know, the parking is like that. So anybody can come, and anybody can, you know, speak on phone in between the two cars, and I did not dare by seeing her, because in the morning, she received me with gentle smile. So one devotee told me, when I asked Prabhuji, so what is this material nature? So Prabhuji told, this is like smiling faces and crying heart. So this is like corporate culture. And devotee means, devotee may not smile sometime because they are engaged in so many activities. They are, you know, so we should not take them granted actually. Sometimes devotees are so much absorbed, it appears that they are neglecting you, but we should not take it as a, you know, they are neglected me. We should not think that some particular authority has neglected me. Okay? So why we came to this point? About the corporate smile and all. Welcoming devotee. So it is said that if we don't welcome devotee in proper spirit, that is also kind of offense. And so three things we have to do. In Katha of Indra, when he offended Brihaspati, the Prabhupada write three things there. First of all, you have to get up from your place. Whenever anybody came to your house, you have to get up from your place. You have to welcome with gentle smile from heart and give him some seat and give him some water. So at least this basic etiquette we have to follow. You know, that is very important, because that particular person is like Atithi. Atithi means one who comes without mailing you, without, you know, giving you some voicemail, and he is coming to your house without telling you. I don't know in Western setup how it is possible. If you come without that, you will see the gun. Maybe not in devotee's house, but out. I was surprised, you know, I'm staying in Atlantic Street last 8 months, but I don't know who is my neighbor. I'm staying in Sachimata's house, it's proper separate condo, and I thought, you know, I can have a relationship after 6 months with so many people, but I don't know who are staying there. I don't know, surprising, you know. We wanted to start some yoga classes and some Bhagavatam classes, but nothing happened. We don't know who are they. Different people at different time. So, what is that, Prabhu? Yeah, it's packed, right? I don't know, Prabhuji, we have to think that how to, you know, maintain this deep relationship with, at least between devotees. Forget about this material world, because we have to call the devotees on our home for prasadam. We have to go to their houses in order to obey the principle of Rupa Goswami. Actually, whatever he has said in, you know, 11 beautiful verses, you know, in order to build our devotional services and order to build a nice relationship with devotees. I'm sorry, my voice is not proper today, but I am trying to speak by the mercy of devotees. So I was... No. Vasudeva might be thinking, who is sitting on my lap today? Very insignificant soul, having no qualification. Actually, it is said that whenever we are receiving such a garland, such a huge garland, you know, we have to receive it as a mercy of Lord. Otherwise, if you are taking the same garland for our own self, it is like taking a poisonous snake around our neck, actually. So we have to take this garland as a mercy of Prabhupada. We should not deny, we should take it as a mercy of Prabhupada. And we should take the mercy of, you know, giving Srimad Bhagavatam classes as a mercy of devotee, not by my own strength or my own qualification. We have to always depend upon mercy of devotee whenever such opportunities are offered to us. And cutting the vegetables and speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, they are on the same platform. Because the energy has heating energy or cooling energy. But source is one, right? It has different functions. So for God, both activities are the same. One may be serving in the kitchen like Krishna Lila Prabhu, and somebody is reading Bhagavatam in front of 5,000 people. The activities are the same if you are doing in the proper spirit. So that is very important. So I was talking about the Amrish Maharaj when he received Durvasa Muni, and by the consultation with the Kula Guru or Raja Guru or the priest, his local priest, he consulted that, you know, we can break the fast, but by just drinking one drop of water. And he just drank the drop of water and break the fast. Otherwise, he could have continued the fast for entire year. And he was Kshatriya. He wanted to rule the kingdom. And to rule the kingdom, you need the fit body, you know. So he wanted to do that. So for the welfare of the people, he took one drop of water, you know, just to break the fast on the Parana time particular. And Durvasa Muni is like a Shambhu Mahadev, one incarnation of Shambhu. So he came and he come to know in meditation only, deep in the water, he caught something is wrong. Like Gautama Muni in the meditation come to know that Indra, you know, is enjoying Ahilya. In, you know, he disguised as the Gautama and is enjoying the Ahilya. So in the meditation only come to know something is wrong going on. So if devotee's heart is pure, he come to know these vibrations, you know, and he come to know that how to behave with the devotee in proper spirit. So that's why purity is the force. Purity being such a good vibration in your heart, the Lord only will tell you inside the heart or through the mouth of devotee how we should behave with that particular devotee in particular time and particular place and circumstances. So devotional service is purifying right from the beginning. So somehow or other, Durvasa becomes so angry. By his anger, he created one demon. Not anger, right? By hair. He pluck out the hair, and by single hair, he created one demon. The fiery demon, you know. Such a fiery demon that entire earth was shaking like earthquake. And so many bad omens coming in entire earth. And that demon started chasing. That demon was such a fearsome, and he was about to kill Amrish Maharaj. But Amrish Maharaj was such a focused devotee, and he was in rapt attention. In rapt attention, and you know what happened in this story afterwards? The same demon started chasing Durvasa Muni, and Durvasa Muni went to Brahmaloka, he went to Mahesh Loka, he went to Vishnu Loka, and Vishnu Loka told, in Vishnu Loka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead told, in order to save your life, you have to take shelter of Amrish Maharaj. Because if you offend me, I can excuse it. There are so many offenses we are committing, you know, in front of Radha Gopi Vallabh. You know, I am considering myself getting after the Radha Gopi Vallabh, being in Boston, getting from the bed is the greatest offense I am committing at the lotus feet of Radha Gopi Vallabh. What to speak of other offenses, you know. Sometimes we are discussing so much about, you know, corporate katha in front of Radha Gopi Vallabh instead of, speaking about Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bodhayanti Parasparam become Bodhayanti, some other things actually, you know, in front of God, Radha Gopi Vallabh. So Radha Gopi Vallabh can excuse for all these offenses. But if we commit a small offense at the lotus feet of devotee, it is various. It is a dangerous phase of our life. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, a Vaishnava finishes all his spiritual activities by offending a devotee. So what is the remedy? We have to caught hold of the lotus feet of devotee. We have to serve him, and we can get rid of all our offenses at the lotus feet of the devotee. There are so many instances in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Ramayana where devotee committed offenses, but only by the mercy of that particular devotee to whom they have committed offenses, they become purified, and again they fixed up in their devotional activities. So I am reading the once again and just opening for some questions or comment. Whatever you have spoken appears to me to be a contradictory. O best friend of the distressed, I have committed a great offense by insulting you. I was puffed up with false prestige due to possessing the body of a king. For this, I have certainly become an offender. Therefore, I pray that you kindly glance at me with your causeless mercy. If you do so, I can be relieved from all sinful activities brought about by insulting you. Thank you very much for your patience. So, Prabhuji, you have any comment? That means devotee should not take it as it is offense for ourselves, right? You mean?
Yeah.
Because who are we? Yeah.
And generally, other devotees see the same way, but we can't go into it assuming that, well, I know you didn't take offense because you're a devotee, so I want to apologize. I mean, that would be a complete misuse of it's pretty easy to apologize once you get in the habit.
Manamali Prabhu, you want to add something?
I think one of the points is so many things to thank you. That is, time and again we have to remind ourselves that how it's not often devotees.
Yeah.
Because we do so many, I don't know, whether consciously, unconsciously, or maybe because of so conditioned, we generally do so many often. I think we have to be very careful. The repercussions of that.
Yeah.
I think one of the beautiful ones we should make is that antidote, just like the poisons, the snake bites. The antidote for snake bite is the poison itself. Similarly, for the Vaishnava offenses, if you, whatever you do, the offenses towards anybody, the best way to counteract is that you need to serve that.
Right.
That's the best antidote which has given by Sukhina. I remember I asked one point of time to Chandramouli Maharaj, and I asked him that what will happen to somebody if he says in an offense, whether he'll be completely thrown away from the spiritual practice. It's true, but he also said that that you are not damned completely, as long as you have a tendency to correct yourself.
Right.
So that's one. Of course, that we need to correct ourselves. We need to ask only whether we have done offenses for forgiveness. But another tendency which I think that which creeps into our mind that we take it for granted. We think that's fine. Like, you know, we do offense, we like ask for forgiveness, and then we coming back again and then again, going the mud on its own. This is a tendency which we generally try to get into. This is, I'm seeing from my own experience that, like, this is, since we are so conditioned, we tend to get into that.
Yeah, yeah.
And we think, of course, we have so much of ego.
Yeah.
The ego is one thing that, which keeps us in this loop of greed, making offenses again and again and again.
Yeah.
This is a response of Vaishnava. There are so many other offenses. Since we are focused mostly on Vaishnava.
Yeah.
So that's why I was trying to speak about the practical aspect. The best thing, generally dealing with the devotees, I think, is that people rush to correct somebody.
Yeah.
You are not, oh, this is wrong, that is wrong. It's like a general tendency.
Right.
They rush. They want to show that how they are actually best.
Yeah.
So rather, like, you know, be contained and we give others time to realize.
Right.
Don't be like, you know, just don't be Krishna yourself, like trying to correct somebody. You do not know the all circumstances, like what the devotee is maybe going in.
Yeah.
Do not know. By doing this, like, you trying to commit offense. And another tendency which I also have observed in general is that whenever two devotees they're fighting, or if there is anything among between the two devotees happens, the third devotee should not interfere in that. It's the best thing which I have learned in my life, and this is told by sannyasi, that like any time any two devotees happen, the third devotee should not interfere and try to like poke his nose.
Yeah.
And that he actually commits offense just by taking, even if he takes sides of one devotee also.
Right.
He commits offense.
Right. Yeah.
So he should not. So that is their differences they will see and Krishna will see.
Yeah.
Okay, like,
right.
And of course, as long as if you're not an authority, then you should not definitely
right.
Yeah. If you're an authority, only if you like, you know, if you're asked, if you think that, you know, so now you're supposed to correct them, then you should correct them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Don't make the same thing. No, I'm getting from my
very nice part.
Like,
no.
So generally you think that, you're a preacher, you are a listener, then you should find, like, not listen.
Yeah.
Mend them, correct them, all this thing. We always keep that focusing lens in our mind and see everyone. Okay, this is what you're saying. You are like that.
Checklist.
Yeah. So the focusing lens has to be be more compassionate and give some to other people also time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes what happens is that the way we have seen some Krishna consciousness in some way, or we have heard about something, or we read about something, and we think that everybody should fall into that. Everybody should get into that mold. We always think that. And then you are trying to correct everyone. Oh, you should do like this, you should do like that later. We are strict with others and lenient with ourselves.
Yeah.
You should rather have
Just to add one point in this, because I'm adding one point in this. Actually, we should not delight when two devotees are fighting. Sometimes what happens, you know, if I have a good relationship with you and we three are together, suppose, and some or other, these devotees are fighting with each other. I should not delight, my God. No, very nice, they are fighting now.
Yeah.
So the tendency will come. My Guru Maharaj was telling, we should not do like that. And one of the things that all Vaishnavas are already, you know, forgiven us. One time my Guru Maharaj was taking bath in Mother Yamuna, and one of my Shiksha Guru, he went, in 1996, he went deep in the water and he came out, and in due course of time, he hit his leg to my Guru Maharaj back. It was such an offense. He started crying. It was entire Mother Yamuna and his own tears getting mixed. So Guru Maharaj already, without he asking, Guru Maharaj told you already, he told Maharaj, please forgive me. He said, you are already forgiven for your entire life. So that is the mercy of, you know, all our acharyas actually. And this is the point that we should not delight when two devotees are, because we are not authority first of all. And authority can correct anyone actually. We should not misunderstand our authority. He has so many things to take care in Krishna consciousness. Not only I am approaching authority, so many thousands of devotees approaching authority, and we think that why he is giving that instruction to me and other instructions to other. That authority knows what is the best medicine for that particular devotee, because he knows the life of the devotee. So we should not misunderstand our authority. Like it is like misunderstanding Jada Bharat by his external behavior, you know. So We should not offend anyone, actually. Yes, you want to add something?
Oh, I was also the same thing from what you were saying. I think that...
yeah, please speak. No problem.
Like the circumstance, because if it's a situation where it's maybe violent between two devotees, a third party should get involved to protect or take care. I think it depends on the situation. But I also think that with correcting too, I have to learn this myself, but maybe the way you communicate is also important, because if you get to know the person and you understand their personality, then you can figure out the best way to
communicate.
That's effective.
Yeah.
I was
going to
say the same exact thing.
Yes.
Just basically
yes.
Communicating
no,
more
I think,
gentle
that's
things
a good point,
be
actually.
Received better.
Yes, yes, yes. I think that's a good point. Like how it's not about to say that how you see things. And we should try and like make sure that the thing is getting corrected. But the point which I'm talking about in general, that's a tendency which generally the world is getting. And another thing is that yeah, it's always better that we should if you don't have any relationship with that person, this is exactly that we should ask whoever is the authority to correct that person.
Thank you.
And that's which is one other point which I really think is that Amrish Maharaj, what you were saying that
yeah.
The devotees don't do not take before committing offenses,
yeah.
They even forgive the devotees. So that's the one thing which is really big thing which I think I need to implement in my own life. They don't even consider the offenses. Even before committing itself, they forgive the offenses.
Like Dhruva Maharaj's mother, you know,
yeah.
It is said that why she burned, right? She burned in the jungle, Dhruva Maharaj's mother, step-mother. So it is said that she committed offenses before Dhruva became a devotee. So what to speak of devotee, we should not commit offense to newcomer in the temple so that he become a nice devotee and we get the reaction. Like Dhruva's stepmother got the reaction after Dhruva became a pure devotee. She burned into ashes in the jungle. Yes, Mataji.
I just want to say that, you know, humility is something, it's like something we always have to strive to understand because it's a very complicated idea. And a lot of mistakes are made in pursuit of practicing humility, I think. And, you know, like we have the example of Haridas Thakur, who's humility, you can't even understand his humility because like he was praying for the welfare of the people who are beating him. We can do that, but we'd just be imitating. We don't really get it, you know, that level of humility.
Right.
But so I was thinking that whenever we're trying to apply a spiritual principle, if it feels artificial, maybe it is, and we should strive to kind of naturally understand it. And I'm thinking of Jesus because before, like the night before he was going to be crucified, he was, he actually had a doubt, like, I forget exactly what he said, but he was sad and he wasn't sure if he could do it, if he could face what the Lord had planned for him. So I think when we are offended by other devotees, like, I don't think we should try to just say, oh, you know, it's okay, like, I just tolerate, I forgive.
Yeah.
We should acknowledge that I'm scared, I'm sad, I don't know if I can face this. And also, we shouldn't pretend that we're not angry. I mean, because these are close personal relationships, like, we're each other's friends and close associates. So if I talk harshly to you and you feel upset about it, you shouldn't just tolerate, you should communicate. And communicating takes humility. Like, it takes humility to approach somebody and say, you know, you hurt my feelings. And we should do that because we also have responsibility to do the service of, you know, trying to understand humility and practice it and take care of ourselves. And I also think that it's important to keep the goal in mind, and then you'll understand the principle. Like, don't try to understand don't just try to be humble in and of itself. Like, remember that humility is surrendering everything to Krishna's service. And so if you're correcting somebody, everything is always connected to Krishna. Right. It's not that, you know, somebody's you know, talking loudly in the temple room or they're off at the cartels, and in and of itself, that thing has to be corrected. We're thinking of Krishna's pleasure. So in order to please Krishna, both there has to be proper etiquette in the temple room, and we have to be kind to all living entities because everyone is dear to Krishna. So
right.
As long as we're always remembering that everything is connected to Krishna, then we'll apply these things much better. And I also think that humility practiced in a way that's just kind of like posturing, I think it's nice when you speak in a humble way, but sometimes, you know, just saying, oh, I'm fallen, you know, please forgive me. Like, real humility is sometimes being a leader and being assertive and, you know, not being shy, going out and speaking and leading devotees and correcting them, because you're not just, you're giving into your insecurity and, like, that's not humility, just giving into your insecurity and hiding in the corner. Also, correcting people is also
humility.
Humility.
Yeah, for that service.
But
yeah.
You have to do it with love. Everything always with love.
Yeah. Somebody told Gaurang Prabhu that whenever you give Bhagavatam class, you are like a Sukadeva Goswami, and whenever you are correcting devotee, you are like a Yamaraj. Gaurang Prabhu. And Gaurang Prabhu is such a humble person. You know? He was jokingly telling in his own class. So, in, like, authority can correct, and that is his humility only. If he is not correcting, that is not humility. So, sometime in the position of authority, they get that service to correct others for their devotional growth. So we should not misunderstand our authority by externally judging. And Mataji was nicely mentioning, that was the last dinner when Jesus Christ was taking with Peter, you know. So the humility he exhibited by his own nature. So in that last dinner, he took one bucket of water, I was narrating in last Sunday feast, and some mopping cloth, and he was washing the feet of all his followers, the Jesus Christ. My Guru Maharaj was telling in one of his class. So that was, he was teaching the humility. And when we came to Peter, Peter started crying. And Peter told, oh my master, what you are doing? I am supposed to wash your feet. So he said, through you, I am teaching you. If I am treating you in such a way, how you will treat other devotees. And Radha Gopijana Vallabh himself, in Rajasuya Yagya, Radha Gopijana Vallabh, he was washing the feet of other devotees, who came in Yudhishthira Maharaj, that assembly, you know. They become samrat of entire world. And everybody got some services. So Krishna told, I will take only one service. I will wash the feet of my devotees. So that's what Radhana Swami Maharaj also told in one of the class. Even Chandramudi Maharaj was telling in one of the class. When they both were together, they were giving some seminar. Chandramudi Maharaj was telling, the humility is not a part of devotional service. It is a heart of devotional service. It is a heart. So how much we have to take that? You know. So from forgiveness to humility, we have so many topics today. Is you want to add something? Prabhuji will answer.
One thing I was to see, though principles are there, since we live in a practical world, we have to use practical principles to approach the spiritual principles. We cannot practice, you were saying, like, humility as it is. Now, since, like, for some people are really, like, reactive. Okay. Yeah. So, if they remain contained, like, whatever anger is there, or whatever, if they are being offended, if they remain contained, then what will happen? It will affect them. It will affect their practice. So, they need some vent through which they can actually express their feelings or their anger. So, yes, it is nice, you know, as Mataji was saying, it's good, like, you know, that we should talk it out rather than like keeping it like in the food oneself.
Yeah.
So all the principles that we have said, like, you know, it differs according to the personalities.
Right.
Also according to the time, place and circumstance, and especially the culture. So that's key principle. Here also, because I remember I was serving one organization at some point of time. Here in United States. That was the only one service which I did outside. And then all of a sudden, I was doing it my own way, and then he became so angry. And then he came and he spoke to me. He spoke to me like he went out all his anger, and he spoke. And then he said, "Now I feel better. Now I feel better. Now I'm okay." I realized that my God, like, no, that's right actually. If he keeps in his mind, then perhaps he'll like, no, he'll carry it forever, and I will not be there again to like to speak to him. Then he will have find out. This is not once, like, you know, it also happened, like, you know. In our temple also, there one authority also spoke to me. I made some mistake, like it was perhaps an offense actually. And my ego was not accepting it at all. At accepted. And then the devotee he came and he spoke to me very harshly. And I was arguing with him, like defending myself. Oh my God. And then like you know, as then I realized that like you know, I should rather be receptive now because like now my ego is popping up too much. I know, and my internal heart was telling me that this was wrong actually what I did. I should have really like you know taken some permission there. And then she spoke to me like whatever like according to this fire nature spoke to me. And then he said, now I feel better. And then I realized, okay, that's fine. At least I can because he was carrying it for so many days.
Right, right.
So many days I think he was carrying it. And then I also felt that okay, like I also realized that I know like you know what is his nature. And I also understand that practically it was right. Both even principally and also practically, but my ego was not accepting. So there are certain at times we also have to see that you know we have to approach the spiritual principles in a practical
way. Yeah.
Okay. Based on time, place, and circumstances. So I know. I think I agree to some of the points now.
All devotees are humble. There.
Nice, it's like so many beautiful points. I think it's just helping a lot. Sorry?
She said it's like a therapy session.
Yeah, yeah, man, it's so many brilliant.
No, Srimad Bhagavatam is like that only, you know. It's such a beautiful verse.
Sukhdev Goswami speaking on the discussion.
Bhagavatam is very pure, actually, very, very pure. You have not heard the classes of Vanamali Prabhu when he was giving in Facts and Common, you know. Such a beautiful, total surgery of mind. And it was right, when I was reading Srimad Bhagavatam, I realized Prabhuji is taking points from purport of here only. Complete surgery of mind. I was feeling such a nice thing after 14 years of my Krishna consciousness. Really good surgery of my heart. Really. And I told him, Prabhuji, you should have such a series here also. Such 5-day series of mind. And it is entirely for the new people. Completely for the new people. You know, whenever new people come to the temple. Yes, Prabhuji.
I was recently reading one purport of Srila Prabhupada where he analyzes who a devotee is. Very interesting. says that out of all of Brahma's creation, only 400,000 species are humans. Out of that, 90% are atheistic. And remaining 10% have some faith in the supreme being. Out of the 10% who believe in the supreme being, you have more than 50% who are just demigod worshippers. And the remaining 50% out of that 10%, you find, who are believing the supreme power but not in the demigods, are impersonalists. Right? So among people who are not impersonalists and have some personal form of the Lord, 90% of them are just sidetracked with the desire of having some mystic power or potency in this world. Then out of their rest few who still qualify to the next level, 90% are those who want to get liberated. And now the 0.005% that you find up in the ladder is one devotee. And then when we find so many devotees around us, we just take it for granted.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's so special about it? I'm having a kanti, she's having a kanti, so that's our job. But Prabhupada says that how rare it is to find a devotee. And then, so very interesting. I remember in one temple class, two of our ISKCON sannyasis were sitting together, and one sannyasi was introducing the other sannyasi of how he was an expert baseball player when he was sannyasi, but very I don't want to take notes, but very very popular sannyasi, and he was an expert player. So the sannyasi was introducing, and he was speaking about Vaishnava Parada, and he gave this example that if as a child when he was playing baseball, one of his friends didn't agree to what he said, and then suppose they fought with him and called him names, that person will go to hell because they don't know that this baseball player has now become a sannyasi. So he was saying this point that doesn't matter what state of spiritual consciousness that person is at the moment,
yeah.
God knows where they're going to be 20 years from now. So it's so scary. We don't know who they were, we don't know who they are, and we don't know who they will be.
Exactly.
And we still judge. And finally, one last point from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was telling his disciples, he gave this example, he said that if somebody is working in a restaurant and has to carry meat all day, as a waiter from one table to another and gets paid for it. It's disgusting because you don't like meat, but you still have to carry it. If suppose somebody is not employed in that restaurant and still carries meat from one place to another, you would ask, I mean, you're not even getting paid out of this. You don't have to do this. Why are you doing it? Right? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur related that example to false finding. He said, carrying false devotees is like carrying meat. He said, I have to do it because I am employed as the guru. So I have to carry the meat of the false of my disciples. But you are not employed in this restaurant. And you're still carrying meat. How disgusting.
Good.
Just remind. Thank you so much.
And just one point that... Just, no, you continue with it. I just add one sentence. It is said that in five Pandavas, we may see that Bhima is not humble, but all other are, you know, like very simple sadhu's personality. The real humility is following the authority. And Bhima was following authority as per his nature, as per his stout and strong body, and other were following authority. So real humility comes, whatever our authority says, we have to follow 100% in our life, and that is real humility actually. So just adding one point. Yeah.
So when I think about like, you know, the interactions, I think at like a material level and spiritual level. I always think like, okay, if Mother Yashoda and like, you know, if all these exalted personalities interact with each other, how they interact, you know, Mother Yashoda and Lala Devi and Lalita, Vishakha, how they interact. So whatever we are talking, it's pure material, like soul, low level, all these corrections, all this. It's all the game of our senses and mind. It's not even at the level of intelligence and forget about Atma and reaching Paramatma. So it's so tough, as Vanmala Prabhu is saying, even at work, even at everybody is ready to, oh, you have to change that, you have to. But you know, this one finger, yes, it's showing, you know, to me, but four fingers are pointing towards me, you know. It's like, it happened at least 10 times in the last 2 days. The best way I realized is, thank you, and keep quiet, don't react, and see if I can change and analyze, and if I can change, implement it. But there is no way, like, you know, reacting, getting our hormones raised up, and like, you know, my heart, it's like, yesterday afternoon, it's such a beautiful day until afternoon, there is something that works, and I came early to, like, I cannot even chant, and I'm by myself, the words are coming from outside, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, in the heart, it's like boiling. So this is such a low level. People correct always, but always imagine we are not at all perfect, like 0.001% perfect. See, Srila Prabhupada. So if somebody is correcting, always think that four fingers are showing to them. For correcting ourselves, you know, it's all by the grace of Krishna only. There is a lot of big ladder.
Yeah.
So that's how I think people correct like 200 times a day. Thank you so much.
Yeah, really.
And Krishna is with us. Srila Prabhupada is with us. They are the only one really, like, you know,
right,
if you want to correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, imagine, like, you know, if we change by corrections itself, we will be perfect by 5 years' age. Right?
Yeah.
So, that's what.
It is said that our whenever spiritual authority corrects us, we have to dance, actually.
Yeah.
Really, it is said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One more point, as I was mentioning the one another thing, that instead of me getting affected, okay, I also learned this sometime. What happens is that there is one, you know, in the anger management, if we have seen that, there's one thing is called the lock it up principle, and which I think generally quite a few people generally lock it up. So that's, it's very dangerous, because what happens is it affects us a lot. So in that, so they give some suggestions, like, you know, how you actually manage your anger. So at any point of time, one should not stop one communication. This is one best thing, as Makachu was emphasizing. Yeah. The communication needs to be there. That's it. And definitely not harsh communication. Definitely not.
Right.
Try and speak as much as possible. Like, you know, speak it out and find some ways of how you can be. There should be some common ground, like where you can be. But I know one sannyasi, like, you know, there could be 100 faults, but if there is only one good point, at least using that one good point, there can be some communication connection.
Right.
So that's what we have to see. We have to see one only, like, you know, on which ground we can actually find a way where we can establish some communication.
Right.
So that bridge we need to find out. It's very difficult to see, like, you know, not to see 100 faults and just to see only one good point, and based on that you should establish that relationship. It's very tough, but we must do that. That's a practical thing. Like,
right.
We have to find some ways and means to establish a communication. If you lock it up, then it will affect yourself a lot. And if you get affected, then perhaps all, like, you know, not only your physical health will go down, but your spiritual deterioration will happen.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think it's always good to get some practical help using some modern techniques, like psychological techniques. It's the best way to deal with that. Sometimes, as long as we don't get out to some platform where all spiritual solutions apply directly. So it's better, like, you know, if you can deal something in a practical way also, that's nice. That's my viewpoint. I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I add just one last thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I?
Yeah.
No, go on.
There's a nice poem by Mahatma Prabhu. Of course, I don't remember the poem, but there's a nice message. It's called "Judge Not." That's the title of the poem, and it's there online.
Yeah, yeah.
The essence of the flow is something like, so Mahatma Prabhu is writing this. So he says something like, at the end of all of this bhakti, I finally went to the spiritual world, and I had the doorkeepers welcome me with open arms, and I entered. And as soon as I entered the garden, I saw the doorkeeper of the temple sitting there before me. I was thinking, this guy, what do you mean he did this? And there's no way he can come here. But I still didn't speak it up. Then I started walking ahead. And I saw the guy who used to take care of the shoes in our temple. And I knew he was filthy. And I knew he was really horrible in his dealings. And I knew he had problems and issues. And how could he be there before me? And first of all, how is he there? Secondly, before me. But I still didn't say anything. Started walking ahead. And I found like 10 people whom I never expected would be there.
Yeah.
And my eyebrows just went beyond my face. High up in the air. How could this guy be here? How could this girl be here? There's no way this guy can be here. There's no way that guy can be here. Because I know this is the fault in that person. And then finally, as I entered into the center, everybody looked at me. And I looked at them. And I was surprised how they were there. And they were surprised how I was there. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, he makes this point that I was thinking that I'm the center and all of them are faulty.
Yeah.
But then I realized that they were all right in their own place and they were surprised how I made it. You know, so it was interesting like that. Not that Mahatma Prabhu is like that, but it was an interesting message. And he oftentimes speaks about forgiveness, humility.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that's my last one.
So, one point I want to add here is regarding any material world, there won't be any material solution in this entire material world. Always for all the material problem, the spiritual solution has to be there. So, why all the problems comes? Any problem, only if you see is some essence is there, if it is filled with something, you cannot add anything on top of that. Like that, if we are fully surcharged or all Krishna consciousness, there is nothing material which or any other thing will going to affect us. So, as long as we are strong, nothing will going to happen. So, as we are not fully surcharged with Krishna consciousness, that whatever emptiness is there, that will try to do all the negatives in our lives and around all our circles. So we have to be fully surcharged, and then there won't be any problem for anybody. And you can see the empty vessels, they make a lot of sound, but those vessels are filled, they are stable. So like that way, if all the circles around us we have, if they are fully surcharged, then there won't be any problem. So the spiritual practice only only there is no problem in this world, only the lack of Krishna consciousness. So that's the only.
Now finally, at the lap of Vasudeva, I'm sitting. How many of you having Srimad Bhagavatam at your own set? It is just $250. iPhone SE is 449, I think. Really, I am having in India, I am having here also. I know it is very difficult for me to convince my wife having so many books. But we should have the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Those who have taken Diksha, I'm your brother, you know. I can tell you, because taking this, because we have to have Srimad Bhagavatam at our home, at any cost. It's not impractical to have Srimad Bhagavatam. It is like this much box actually, having 40 books, and you can read at any time. Your home will be purified if you are not reading also. We should have. Otherwise, you know, ISKCON devotees are not reading Prabhupada books. That is a great and great disservice at the lotus feet of Prabhupada, because everything on the basis of book, all these exalted devotees are speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam only. All practical. One time we asked Gaurang Prabhu, you know, how, you know, beautiful points you are giving in your lecture. Your lectures are always like, you know, unique, right? He's giving so many humorous ways and all. He told that everything is there in Prabhupada books. And we surprised when we are reading this. We think that they are taking some techniques from here and there. It is not like that. Everything is there in Prabhupada books. And these books are reciprocated with us actually. As per, if you open the book, sometimes I thought there was a fight between my mother and my brother, you know, sometime, because he's misunderstanding. I opened the Bhagavatam and the same point, Daksha's fighting and all. And I got such a nice solution. And I told my brother also, and they commented my mother also. They got their answers actually. So such a powerful Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. I was in the college, I had no money. And I was taking education. One brahmachari approached me. If he want Bhagavatam, he did his MS in US actually, and he become brahmachari. He's like a Narad Muni of Kali Yuga, Krishnananda Prabhu. Wherever he goes, he donates Srimad Bhagavatam, and that was 5,000 rupees, means in US how many, $20 or $30? $90 was very big for me, pocket money, because my mother may ask where the money has gone. So he gave me Bhagavatam, and after 10 years I got the job, and I gave him that 5,000 rupees, and he gave Bhagavatam to another person. In Mayapur only I handed over money to him. So Srimad Bhagavatam is such a potent, you know. Please have your own copy. Only 250 rupees, $250. It's not 225? And 175, 125 also, some of them. Whenever we distribute books, you know, we should have our own set with us. If you don't have any problem, I will come with your home and I will do transportation service. Really. I will take charge of that. That is a wonderful service you can do. If somebody wants, from the hands of Prabhuji, we will give it to them today. Yeah, really. I'm sorry, I'm very harsh, but it is very important actually.
Can I have one request?
Yes.
If you four devotees never leave Boston, please always stay here, okay? Because, you know, for all four, you have transformed this temple. And
no, all of you actually.
Your heart is...
Okay. If somebody has no money of taking Srimad Bhagavatam, I can sponsor for 2 to 3 sets. Please. Yeah. Thank you. Prabhuji, just conclude with.
No.
So beautiful. Actually, conclusion should come from you. Please.
Please.
The conclusion is that, you know, the first of all, I would like to thank all the devotees who have helped us in cutting on the video. Today we did twice the cutup than what we generally do.
Because
we
need two buckets.
Yeah. Unity is a strength. That's what generally we do, one bucket, and we do.